away from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Hey friends, welcome to episode 26 of ParentCast. I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I wish I was as smart and as funny as Lorelai Gilmore. If you're
out on the road, bum, 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 bum.
It just feels so good. Love this theme.
All you have to do is call.
Why are we listening to the Gilmores, Mary?
I don't know, Blake. Why are we? When you need me.
Yeah, let's play it.
No.
Play it. Come on.
Please, take it off.
Why are we listening to the Gilmore Girls theme song? Because Mary and I are now obsessed with the Gilmore Girls.
Okay, so here's what happens. When I get pregnant, I get, I don't know, like nostalgic for TV shows that were playing when I was a teenager. I don't know. When I was pregnant with Reese, I watched a lot of Dawson's Creek on Netflix.
That's right.
Then I got pregnant with this baby, and all of a sudden I was like, I never watched Gilmore Girls. That's on Netflix. That looks fantastic. And I began watching it, and Blake made fun of me every single day. Until I was lying in bed and he goes, are we going to watch Gilmore Girls? And it was like a record scratch happened.
And I noticed that when we started watching it, she had like gone a couple episodes without me seeing them. And I was like, hey, you watched an episode of Gilmore Girls without me?
What happened?
What happened?
He would say. And I was like, why do you suddenly care? All you do is make fun of how fast these people talk because they talk this fast with such big words.
It's like you can't keep track of
what
they say.
It's like a ping pong match. That's what it's like.
A ping pong match of wits and estrogen. That's what it is.
But now we are nearing the end of season 6, and then we will have only season 7 to watch. So we are in kind of like the last throes of Gilmore Girls, and who knows what's going to happen, because I think we're going to finish Gilmore Girls before I have this baby.
Yep.
And I'm going to have to find a new show to watch. So watch out,
Blake. I don't know what we're going
to
do.
We might just have to watch Parenthood, because Lorelai is pretty much the same person in Parenthood.
So if you guys haven't seen Gilmore Girls, I'm sorry for the first like 3 minutes of this episode. But if you have, and I'm pretty sure that you probably have, because it won an Emmy, apparently. I don't know how, but it did. A lot of people watch the show. And so, yeah, that's just how it goes.
Oh, well.
But I just wish I was as smart and as funny as Lorelai Gilmore. She is witty and she's brilliant. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Me too.
It's a good show. As much as it kills me to admit that.
I am really proud of you. We've entered a new part of our relationship.
Oh my God.
Well, before we go on any more about ParentCast, we just want to let you know that this week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has a bajillion titles, and if you are a busy parent like me, you might not be going to book clubs anymore. You know what's happening tonight? It's Saturday night. My girlfriends are all getting together, having wine and chatting about all the books they read. And they have kids that are like 5 who can like color and stuff and busy themselves, or they don't have kids. And
you're stuck here podcasting with me.
Yeah, this is what I do on my Saturday nights. It's great. It's great. But I just don't have time to actually physically read, which is why I got into podcasts. But it's also one of the reasons why I love audiobooks.
Correct.
So if you want a free audiobook, that's right. Free. Free.
Free. F-R-E-E. Free is for me.
Just head on over to audible.com/tallmommedia.
And what book are we recommending today there, kiddo?
We are recommending Outlander, because Outlander is this awesome book. It's nice. It's lengthy. It's something you can listen to in your car if you don't have a kid over the age of like 5, because they do get a little racy. But it's something that's perfect if you have a young baby, mm-hmm. and you can listen to it and feel like you have a life again. Because
it's basically Twilight.
No,
but. In Scotland.
Oh my God.
In 1743.
I would not.
And no put, shiny vampires.
I would not put Twilight on the same level as Outlander. Outlander is incredibly well written, but now they have the TV show based upon it on Starz. So enough of us gushing about Outlander.
Well, it's a little self-serving too, because we also have Outlander Cast, our show, and we want you to listen to that show as well. So please go and get Outlander the book for free at audible.com/tallmommedia.
All right, so before we get into today's topic, we need to get into the judgment-free zone.
Boom.
I feel like the first 3 minutes of our episode was a judgment-free zone.
It should be.
You talking about your love for Lorelai Gilmore.
And Outlander and Twilight. I can't believe this.
Oh, my God.
Well, listen, today is my judgment-free zone. And as you may or may not know, if you're in the Rhode Island or New England area, we've had a lot of snow.
They like, probably, even if you don't live here, that's all people on the Weather Channel talk about.
It's historic. I'm talking historic numbers, like 95 inches of snow so far in the New England region, and well, at least in Boston alone, right? And they've never had that amount of snow until this point of time.
At least documented. Ever. We don't know what happened in the Ice Age.
Yeah.
I saw that movie. There was more than 95 inches.
A huge life. Well, anyway, we all know that we have a lot of snow. And during the first big storm that we had, Storm Juno,
was called Blizzard Juno.
Oh, Blizzard.
Respect for the storm.
So we were out there and I was shoveling and Mary had decided that she was going to come out with our son, Reese. And they were going to spend some time with me while I was out there shoveling. And our neighbors were outside as well. And they were shoveling too. So Mary, of course, being the lovely person that she is and being totally, totally sociable, she goes over there and says, hi, hey, how are ya? Brings Reese over there. He's cute and cuddly and everything. And I don't want to talk to anybody, right? I'm just busy shoveling. But it got to the point where I had finished shoveling and it was obvious that I had finished shoveling. So I had to go say hi. So Reese actually came running up to me and I thought I'd be cute and shovel a little snow on to Reese, just being cute, you know, like put it on his snowsuit a little bit and just douse him a little bit with the snow. Well, the way that it worked out was I was walking with the snow in my shovel and Reese was walking along with me. So I went to go shovel a little bit of snow on him. And the way that it just worked out, Reese stopped walking at this very specific amount of time. And what ended up happening was I got snow all over Reese's face, in his shirt, all over his hands, in his hat, all in front of my neighbors. And I looked like a total, total moron right in front of these
not
people.
Just a moron, but like a straight up bad dad.
Like it looked like I did it purposely. Yeah, and I swear to God I didn't.
It looked like Blake whitewashed our kid, who is 21 months at the time, on purpose. Like ginormous. It was so much snow. If you could just imagine a wall of snow your height. So if you're like Blake and you're like 6 foot tall, imagine a wall of huge snow being thrown at you. Oh, as if a snowplow came and just shoved it all in your face. That's what it was like to our poor son. A, so he started crying and I ran over to go get him and brush off his face. B, in front of our new neighbors who just kind of looked at us and they were like,
oh my God.
Really?
You just did that, dude?
And they're pregnant and he's supposed to take care of another kid? I don't know. This is going to go.
It was so bad. I felt wicked bad, dude. I felt so bad for Reese. Like, it stopped him dead in his tracks. And it was at that point, he did cry. And he cried a lot. But it was at that point where, when I did it to him, he was so shocked by it, he didn't know what to do. He looked at me like...
He was blindsided by a wall of snow.
He was like, are you serious? You just did that?
Yep.
And he looked at me for like a good 3 or 4 seconds and no reaction whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, just started wailing.
Well, hopefully our listeners don't judge you, but I know that our neighbors sure did.
That was not a smart move on my behalf.
Good try.
What do you say we get into the show, kid?
Okay.
Let's do it.
What's today's topic? You decided upon today's topic. I'm really proud of you.
I did. Today's topic is, as you have already seen in the description, how to make your spouse feel special.
Your significant other.
Your spouse, significant other, whatever. I mean, hey, it is what it is. The person that you're dating or you're married to or you're, you know, you're whatever with. How to make them feel special.
And, you know, we needed to have a caveat because when Blake approached this topic with me, I said, Blake, not every parent has a significant other in their lives right now. And he said, I know, but I feel very strongly about talking about this topic, and especially in how it regards now to us being parents. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that all of our listeners understand that we support and admire all parents, especially parents who are doing it on their own. We have a few friends who are single parents and we applaud them because we're like, we have no idea. You guys are amazing. You are like ninjas. They really are. They're like ninjas. But Blake has really felt compelled to have this topic. And for that reason, it's maybe because it was like Valentine's Day recently. I have no idea. This came out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh my God, look at you being somewhat romantic
on ParentCast. Come on now.
I'm going to make you blush. Well, anyway, you go on.
Well, the reason why I wanted to do this, actually, it's for very personal reasons. You know, Mary and I have had a lot of conversations and a lot of things have happened in our lives. I'd say over the past, two years, where our lives have just become this whirlwind of emotion and problems and great things and unbelievable things. But it always seemed to be that we were putting everything else ahead of us, and not even necessarily on purpose or anything of that nature. It was more just like we had to get by, we had to survive, we had to do certain things, and we lost focus. I like that word a lot. We lost focus. And I say we because I think we both did. So the idea behind this episode is how to refocus yourself and make that other person in your life feel special. Because ultimately, I'm talking to you as a parent, but if you're not a parent and you're listening to this podcast, thank you very much. That's awesome. But if you are a parent, you got a lot of crap that goes on in your life.
Literally.
A lot of crap, a lot of pee.
Once solids are introduced to, it's a whole new ballgame.
Oh my God. You got a lot of stuff that goes on. And you lose focus over the fact that your significant other is the person that you've created this family with, or with whom you created this family. And there is no family, there's no relationship, there's nothing without the base of you two. So if you're someone, like let's say if you're a spouse and your significant other is a listener of our podcast, and they're making you listen to this episode, it's for a reason. And it's not because you're a dick or because you got a problem, or it's because that you don't know how to be a good person. You probably are, and I'm sure that you are. But maybe you just need someone to tell you, hey.
You might need a new operating system. You might just need the newest update.
Yeah, you need an update. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'll tell you, I needed an update. I needed a big freaking update. And I am madly 100% head over heels in love with my wife.
Aww.
And that's the truth. I mean, God, I'm podcasting with her. I podcast three shows with her. We created a company, Tall Mom Media, together. And while that's fun, while that's important, while that's special, it's not as special as our relationship. And I needed it. I'll tell you, between the pregnancy that we had with Reese, the birth, the hard birth. Ultimately, Mary came out the other day with a post on her blog, tallmomtinybaby.com, that she was tortured by postpartum depression. That's true. That's 100% true. And I got to tell you, it's probably one of the hottest things that I have ever had to deal with. Ever. Because I count on my wife for everything. She's my my solid ground that I come home to. Work is hard, especially when you work with your family and when you work very intensely and it's every day. I work 7 days a week. I need to come home to my wife and I need it to be good. I need to have some kind of stable ground. And postpartum depression is the exact opposite of that thing. So then we also had colic and we had the postpartum depression. And then we bought a new house. We created Tall Mom Media. We did podcasts. We're renovations of the house. Money became an issue. All of these things started taking over our lives. And it was like I had to go in survival mode just to get by every single day. Because I didn't know what else to do. So everything kind of started to go a little by the wayside. And as much as I love my wife and as much as I care about her and I want to do the right things, I found myself not necessarily doing them mm-hmm. because I had a lot of other crap to do, man. I had stuff. I had things. I had to take care of all this crap. And it's hard to look past that. It's hard to look past that because you got, as a man, I'm speaking from the guy's perspective. As a man, I feel a lot of responsibility to make sure I provide for my family. So I got to make sure that the driveway is shoveled, and I got to make sure that the things around the house are fixed. I got to have the answers to all of life's mysteries, even if I have to make them up. I have to have those answers. You know, I have to make the money. I got to bring the money home. I got to pay the bills. I got to do the cars. I have a lot of crap to do. And then I have to deal with the postpartum depression and all that other crap on top of it.
Hey, don't call it crap.
Well, I don't mean it like that. But what I'm saying is I have to deal with it all on top of that. The date nights and the flowers and all of that stuff, I can't say it went away, but it just didn't happen as much as it should have. It didn't happen as much as it should have.
And I think the same can be said whether you're the husband or the wife or anything. Like, you know, life gets crazy and chaotic, and especially when it's your first child mm-hmm. and you're learning everything. I mean, it's not even that it's crap. I mean, so much of being a parent is fantastic, lovely stuff. You know, we're saying it to each other almost every day now. Like, God, our kid is so cute. Like,
finally.
Oh, wow, look at him do this. And isn't it great that he can do that? And it's so easy, in my opinion, to get wrapped up in the firsts, in, oh, he's doing this, or God forbid, if your kid does get sick, I mean, you have to stop, drop, and roll. You have to do everything that you can. But it's hard to remember that there might be someone else in that relationship, not just you and your new child.
Exactly. And you always feel like, you know, at least if you're married, you always feel like you and your spouse are on the same page. And generally, I'd say for the most part, you probably are, right? You probably are on the same page. You're both tired. God, I do not want to go out right now. I don't. Or, oh man, I'm just like sick. I got a headache. I just want to lay down. Maybe my wife or my husband can take care of the baby for a while. I need to chill out. There's been a lot happening today. And you start thinking, well, that person's always going to be there. And, you know, they are. You're married. Now, if you take that vow seriously, which I do, and I hope that Mary does, she's always going to be there. But while she may be here physically, emotionally, she may not be.
You know what it's like? I'm being like, I don't even mean to do this, but it's like when you have a car and you rely upon that car and you use that car multiple times a day and you may do a tune-up here or there, but then your car breaks down and you're like, oh my gosh, I use this car multiple times a day. Why didn't I respect this car? Now, granted, our marriage is not like a car in that sense, but I'm trying to say that's how easily you can kind of take advantage of the fact that you have this very special person in your life on a daily basis, that you're speaking to them frequently and you sit down, you might have dinner with them while you're having dinner with your child and you tag team bedtime. And before you know it, you're exhausted and you're going to bed watching Gilmore Girls. And that happens. That's your day-to-day life. So Blake came up with some great suggestions on how you can make your significant other feel special.
I did. And again, it's not that you're a bad person. And I really want to stress this. You're not a bad person. If you have found that maybe you need a little bit of a tune-up, it's just because you need to refocus yourself. My one example of this is, you know, when you go to dinner and you're out and you're with your spouse or your significant other, and you're there, you're having a good time, you're eating and whatever, and you look across the way and you see those people, the people that are eating dinner, and they're just eating. And they're not speaking. And you know, like, they've been married for like 30 years or so.
Yeah.
They're not speaking to each other. They're like looking off in the distance, or they're looking down at their food. But you will literally time them, and for, I'd say, a good 10 minutes, nothing is said.
And then you know that they're not foodies. They're not there savoring each morsel, being like, oh, I taste the cardamom. Like, no,
you're like at TGI Fridays, bro.
They're just kind of bored.
Yeah. And being bored is okay, too. Sometimes you can be bored. That's human. What you don't want to become, however, you don't want to become those people on a daily basis. You don't want to look at your spouse and say, nothing. Nothing. It's terrifying. It terrifies me. It terrifies
me. Well, I talk a lot, so...
I know. I don't think we're ever going to have that issue. We're never going to have that issue.
So how can people... What are some examples of how people can get out of this rut?
Okay, watch the Gilmore Girls. And I kid about it, but it's the truth. Get out of your comfort zone. You really think I want to watch the Gilmore Girls?
Now I do.
Oh, now I do.
Because
I know.
Now you're like, oh, what's going to happen? Is Lorelai ever going to find love? I really wonder. It would be really witty if they just don't. Like, that would be really creative.
Shut up. I can't believe you just outed me.
Blake has all these deep theories of already. But continue. This is out of your comfort zone, though now you love it.
Get out of your comfort zone. Because you know what? Ultimately, you may find that you love Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. And that's why we did the whole intro about Gilmore Girls. But you may find that you like Lorelai Gilmore. And why not, right? If your wife or your husband has decided, I really want to watch this show, or I really want to go to this museum, or I really want to go to, like, Mary wanted to take me to Style Week Providence. And instead of being like, dude,
Style Week Northeast.
Oh, it's Style Week New England, actually. It was Style Week Providence, but now it's Style Week New England. Do you really think that I want to go is it Northeast? Northeast. Do you really think I want to go and watch fashion and all these people who dress way better than me and they're all super good looking? And you think I want to do that? No. But instead of being like, oh, F that, dude, I'm a man, I don't go to all that crap, I say, sure, why not? What else am I going to do? I can get out of the house. I can be with my wife. I can watch beautiful women walk down a runway. I get to see side boob. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I get to see cool new fashions. And instead of looking at it like, oh, you just girl stuff, I'm there with my wife and I'm having a good time. All because my wife said, hey, I really want to go to this event. And what am I going to lose? I'm with the person that I love.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
So take a step outside of your comfort zone.
Get out of your comfort zone. You don't need to always do the same thing. Just because you're a guy or just because you're a girl. Like, I remember Mary never wanted to watch Orange County Choppers with me. Now, I love motorcycles. I love the whole family dynamic. If you guys remember, it's about the father and the son, and they make the motorcycles in New York, and they had all this drama, and it was a great show, and it was all about these cool bikes. But Mary never wanted to watch with me. And why, I don't know, but I always kind of wanted her to watch it with me. I don't know, just because I wanted to share it with her.
But I bought you a t-shirt with their logo.
Yes, you did. And as a matter of fact, does Mary want to watch the Patriots every Sunday? No. Hell no. No way. She doesn't want to do it.
I don't. I'm sorry. But that's like an entire season of my life that I don't get a weekend day.
I understand.
I can do every other week.
I understand. But you know what she does? She actually watches it with me every once in a while.
I actually did this entire season.
She did. I gotta give you credit. You did, because you got out of your comfort zone. It's something that you did with me because that's what I liked.
And football players look really cute.
Oh, that Julian Edelman. Oh boy, he's a hottie.
Their bums in those, like, I don't, what kind of pants are those? That's like hot pants.
It's like hot spandex
hot pants
football
for men.
Pants.
Yeah.
All right, number two. Find a hobby to do together.
Ours
is podcasting.
It's podcasting.
We love podcasting. How we got into it, it's a whole big long story. You can actually go to tallmommedia.com and read all about it. But we do podcasting. We put the kid to bed. We come down here. We record. We talk, and we just, you know, bull crap together for an hour or two. And we put it out there for people to listen. And oddly enough, lots of people listen to us.
But
tens of thousands.
Even if you're not successful, like Blake and I used to take swing dance lessons together.
Yeah.
And that, A, was outside of Blake's comfort zone. But B, it was something that we did together. And it was this weekly activity. And it was something that we got to look forward to as a team.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's that you cook dinner together.
Mm-hmm. It's something
nights a week.
It's something that is wholly about you two. It's not about just you, like me watching Orange County Choppers or you watching the Gilmore Girls. It's something that we've decided we're going to do this together because we want to do it.
And try to make it something fun, because I know for some people, they garden together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking like, let's do yard work together, but they garden. You know, they have fun. They plant plants that, you know, I don't really know. I don't have a green thumb, but people who are good at gardening, they do that together and they have fun. Or maybe they like to window shop or car shop, even though you never buy it. You might like that and you do it together and it's an activity. Before we bought our house, before, gosh, even we had our kid, Blake and I used to house shop together.
Yeah, literally every weekend.
Yeah.
We got in the car and we drove around the city of Providence.
And now that we have a house, we still might do it because we're nosy and we want to see what our neighbor's houses look like inside. But it's also because it became a hobby for us. And we would walk around the houses and be like, oh, do you see the crown moldings? Yeah, but they really skimped out in the kitchen. You know, it was just, it's something that we have had fun together. So find a hobby that you both can do on, you know, a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, on your terms. And again, it has to be about you two. Make sure you both are into it. All right, number three. All right. I like this one.
Oh, I don't.
I like this one a lot.
I know you do.
Sleep naked.
We got the suggestion from the One Extraordinary Marriage podcast.
Love those guys. And they were on our show. I think it was episode 23. Go back and
they're
listen
amazing.
To them.
Amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
Great people. I have a serious podcast crush on them.
And one of their top suggestions for married couples is to sleep naked. Just, you know, bodies being naked, things might happen a little bit more frequently.
Yeah, but not even that. It's just the warmth and, you know... All right, I'm going to say it. I sleep naked. Okay, I sleep naked. I love it. I think it's great. It's freeing.
He did before this was recommended. So,
I did.
Yeah, Blake was a nude sleeper.
And I like it. It's freeing. It's
what did you do in college when you had fire drills?
No, I didn't sleep naked in college.
Okay,
I always had clothes on.
Okay.
I really didn't start sleeping naked until I met you. Honestly, that's the honest to God truth.
What did I do? Must have been my pheromones.
Oh no! Yeah, I know exactly. Well, you started sleeping naked with me, and then you stopped.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I'm cold. I have very bad circulation. I was trying to like be cute and
stuff. I run hot. I'm like Jacob in Twilight. Oh my God, that's a second Twilight reference in this pot. What am I doing? Oh my God, get out of my head.
This whole episode needs to be judgment free.
I know. Listen, sleep naked. And the reason why you want to sleep naked is because, again, it's the warmth. It's the comfort. There's like a carnal... feeling when that happens. It's not even like, oh, I'm gonna get lucky tonight, which could happen, and it may happen more often when you do sleep naked. That's a possibility, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I'm a big proponent of that, but it just feels more intimate. It feels more soft.
I agree. If you're like me though, and it's not really in your nature to sleep naked, here's how you can find a nice kind of compromise. You can sleep half naked. All right. So I'm really cold, and especially when I'm pregnant, I'm freezing. Blake had to go buy an electronic blanket because I'm so cold, and he was trying to get me on this whole like always sleep naked thing. And now I feel bloated and a mess, and I don't really get to shave my legs. So I'm like,
Yeah, I mean, if you're pregnant, I mean, that's one thing, you know.
No, but
I mean,
still,
do the best that you can. But...
So sometimes I just choose that I'm going to be top or bottom without my garments, okay? Because then I'm like, I'm kind of making the effort.
Yep.
And Blake notices. He's like, oh, hey, I can feel your back. And I'm like, oh, look at me. I'm trying. Like, I fall right asleep after Lorelai comes on. But it's something. It's just something. And that's, for me, is stepping outside of my comfort zone. So for some of you, sleeping in the nude could be just really, really easy. But if it's not, your partner will know that it's not, and they will even be more appreciative and just think, wow, look at them.
Yeah,
they're taking
like,
steps to show me that they care.
Yeah, and go and have that conversation with your spouse and be like, look, don't be like, oh my God, Mary and Blake just told me to go sleep naked, so we're sleeping naked tonight. No, don't do that. Have the conversation with them and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. You know, what do you want to do about this? I think sleeping naked might be a cool idea.
With the caveat that just because you're naked doesn't mean you're expecting anything.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it could happen, like I said, but just go into it knowing that it may be good. I mean, the other thing that really is good too, and this is kind of like, you know, like, I'm not sure if it's appropriate, but like, you get to kind of air out a little bit too, you know?
Oh my God, that sounds like farts.
But I don't, it's not farts.
That's all I'm thinking. I'm thinking now, like, farts. I don't, can you not say air out? I don't even know what you mean.
Well, you know, because you're wearing underwear all day, and...
I'm still on farts. Just stop it. I don't want you to air out
I'm not talking about
body
farts.
Next. No matter what, airing out your body, like, your body can sometimes smell good, Blake, but sometimes it doesn't, and I don't want to think about needing to air out. It makes me think of stale air and, like, nasty smells. Erase that, guys. That will not make me feel special.
Okay, don't tell that you're a significant other that you need to air out next to them.
Can you imagine if I said it to you, if I was like, okay, hey, Blake, I have a really big suggestion. To make you feel special, I'm going to start sleeping naked so I can air out. What would you say?
Dude, I just snorted.
What would you say if I was like, hey, honey, listen, I think it's a good idea to sleep naked so I can air out each night? Air out what? Oh my God, I'm so nauseous. Listen,
upon further review, the ruling on the field is overturned. Okay? That may not have been the best suggestion.
Oh, you're so gross. Oh. I like how your next bullet point is to make them feel sexy. You, all I can
listen,
think
don't
of right
ruin,
now,
don't ruin the podcast.
All I can think about is you when, like, you go camping and you smell like meat and cheese. It's so gross. I remember I came to see you and it was like 3 a.m. and I was like, Blake, you need to shower. You smell so bad.
I was camping and I was at a motorcycle rally. And I hadn't showered in like 4 days.
He smelled like meat and cheese and man. Oh. And it was gross. And that's all I can picture right now, airing out. I was gagging. I couldn't even stay next to you. You had to shower.
I needed to air out then. All right, fine. I'll skip the make them feel sexy one.
Please.
We'll come back to it. But the other thing, okay, now, this is what the next thing is. Listen, take your spouse out. I know that sounds really stupid. I know it sounds really obtuse, almost.
No, it's not stupid. It's just hard because now you have a kid and maybe you haven't had a babysitter yet. Maybe you don't have the money for the babysitter. Or maybe you don't trust having them with the babysitter. You know, when you have to go out and you have to pay for a babysitter, it's like double the price. If you want to go see a movie and go out to dinner.
Instead of spending the $60, now you're spending $130.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you know, I mean, I know 130 is not double a 60, but it kind of, it's 120, whatever. Ultimately, what I'm saying is this. Take them out.
Take them out.
Do anything. Go for a walk. I remember Mary, she loved tacos.
I
still loves tacos, but you take her out for tacos because she loved them and it made her happy. All of these things are important. Do you have to spend a lot of money to do these things? No, you don't. Do you need to spend money to take a person out? Well, you kind of do.
Not necessarily.
You kind of do. Well, if you're going to drive somewhere, you're going to spend money on gas.
You
right?
go for a walk.
Okay, so go for a walk. Is there a park near you?
Can you have an in-home date takeout?
Yeah. Ultimately, I guess take them out is do something that...
It requires a little planning.
Yeah, you got to plan a little bit.
Okay.
You got to plan a little bit.
Because, okay, so Blake and I used to actually do date nights when we had infant Reese. And that's the great thing. When you have a baby that just sits in a little car seat, you can go to that fancy restaurant.
Or you can wear the kid.
Yep, you can still go out and do what you want to do and have your glass of wine. And, I mean, occasionally your kid might fuss, but if you have a pretty easygoing new baby.
Unlike our kid.
You can do it. And then, yeah, our kid had colic, so we didn't really go out much for a long time. I wonder why I had postpartum depression. But you can have in-home date nights. And that, when you say take them out, I think just more think about putting a little effort into making something special. So if I like tacos, make surprise tacos. Like, get home out of work a little earlier. When you get home, make tacos and put a candle on the table. Yeah, it's a Yankee Candle knockoff that you got at Christmas tree shop. I don't judge. I don't judge. It still looks romantic to me. But to put a little effort into it so it's not just the regular sit down, eat your food, put the kids in the bath, and call it a night.
Yeah, you can't do that. I mean, you obviously can. Is that every single night?
It's a majority.
And that's okay, too, because that's life.
Yeah.
You have to do those things. That's important. But what is also important is that you break that monotony up with something, whether it's go for a walk. And if you got the money, spend the money. Spend it. Go out. Get a babysitter. Go to Capital Grill. Get the Kobe beef steaks. Go out for a couple of drinks.
Go out for a taco.
Go see 50 Shades of Grey.
Wasn't very good.
Not a very good movie, but you know, it's an event. I respect that. You know, that movie has broken all like this weekend, President's Day weekend, like records. Like it's made like an obscene amount of money.
I wouldn't recommend it for a date night.
Yeah, especially if you're just that in Dayton.
Well, this is... Yeah, I don't know, guys. Save your money.
No, but
go see something else.
You know, go do the things. If you got the money, spend it. If you don't got the money, that's okay too. Do the things that's something that's special. And with that in mind, the next thing I have for you is write your spouse or your significant other a letter.
Ooh.
Write him a letter.
Old school.
Don't type it. Don't like nothing. Write it on a lined piece of paper. Kind of like you're in high school again. Write him a note, a little cute note. Fold it up in that little thing, you know, that little square thing that you would do. And you pass the note along. Do that.
How about write them a post-it note? Because I'm not really good at letter writing. I mean, I like cards.
No, I like letters. I'm sticking to my letter guns.
Well, or you could be like me. And if you're not really eloquent with putting your emotions down in words, it takes you a long time. Sticky notes. Sticky notes go a long way, especially if you have a lot of sticky notes. So if you leave little love notes, or yes. I'm thinking about you, whether it's on the bathroom mirror or on their alarm clock or on their cell phone or stick it in their wallet, that works too.
Yeah, that's really important. Like Mary does this thing. She sends a check to my office every week.
That sounds so weird.
I know it's weird. I know, but it's just how we do our finances. And she sends it to my office every week. And on that check, she has a little sticky note. And on that sticky note, it says something like, oh, you're the best partner ever. Or I love podcasting with you. Or you're the best man I know. You're a great dad or whatever. Something along those lines. I gotta tell you, I save every one of those notes.
So Blake writes me eloquent letters.
And she writes
and
me sticky notes.
Five-word sticky notes, but it counts.
It counts because I know that she took the time out of her day to do that for me. And did it take 5 seconds? Probably. Did it take a lot of time, a lot of effort? Probably not. But when I get that and I look at that and I'm stressed out.
It did take a lot of effort. It was a haiku. No, it wasn't.
I'm stressed out of my office, and I got things going on up the wazoo, and I take a break to look at that. It's a reminder to me that I have somebody by my side that I can go home to that will love me.
I feel like you need to play the Gilmore Girls song because that's what it sounds like. Don't actually, please don't. I see that you're queuing it up.
I was going to.
Please don't.
Okay. So... And I think a lot of this, and I'm going to get off of the writing a letter thing right now. A lot of these things that we've already discussed and that we're going to continue to discuss a few more, it's about taking time to do something for that person. You have to make time. God, I can't imagine if you're married, how much and how often can you... ignore somebody
a long time?
Yeah, right. You can, because you think that they're always there, and they always will be there, like I said, until they're not. One day you're getting a letter in the mail saying, hey, it's jigs up, kid. Or you're even at the point where emotionally she or he is just vacant, where I think of like Breaking Bad. Spoiler alert for Breaking Bad. So if you haven't watched it yet, skip ahead about 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Or 2 minutes, whatever. Ugh. But I think of Breaking Bad with Skyler and Walt, where she had just lost it. And no matter what Walt did, no matter what he said, nothing was going to change how Skylar felt about Walt. Nothing. She just hated him. And she hated him so much that she hated herself. And do you really want to do that to your spouse? Do you want to make them hate themselves? Make them hate themselves for wasting their time on you? You know, do you want to make them hate themselves because...
God, you're getting so, like, morbid.
Well, it's the truth. It happens. You look at these people that don't talk to each other, and you know what? I got to say, they're probably unhappy with themselves.
Well, hate is such a strong word. I like to think more of the word stale. Stale.
Stale is reasonable.
Once again, like stale air, airing out. Now I'm nauseous again. Nonetheless, I see it more as stale. And, you know, when you're in a really long-term relationship, you go through bumps, you go through stale passages, and it's so different from when you just dated. Before you can make that commitment, before you have a kid together. Because if it does get stale, sometimes you start thinking, this is stale. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of bored. I don't really feel special anymore. I don't think this person really likes me the way they used to. Mm-hmm. And you can abandon ship. But once you make that commitment to each other, whether it's marriage or just verbal or just emotional, when you start to feel that staleness creep in, you have to sit there and say, wow, I can't really abandon ship easily right now. I shouldn't maybe be abandoning ship. Is there something that I should be doing? Do I need to add another log to the fire? Like, that's it. You have this fire, this passion that burns so much and it gets you together in the first place. But you need to refuel that fire. You need to keep adding logs. Like, it's not like you're in Harry Potter and you have a ever-burning fire. Okay, you have to add a log to the fire every once in a while. And that's what this is. It's not that you're doing anything wrong. You just got to
refocus. You got to refocus. And that's another good thing, too. Make that person feel like you're dating again. You know what I mean? Make them feel like you're all they're thinking about. Or they're all that you're thinking about. You know, I remember I used to send texts to Mary, be like, okay, it's 3,121 more seconds until I see you, or something stupid like that. You know what I mean? And again, I'm not sitting here saying I'm the perfect, I'm the control figure, or I'm someone that is the perfect man. I am not. I've already admitted it. Mary and I had a big, long conversation and a lot of fights, a lot of tears, and a lot of arguments and hole punchings through the wall, and that happened, and
that's so scary sounding.
It is scary sounding.
Just to say we had disagreements.
We had a lot of disagreements.
Do you want you to be like, oh, it's World War II?
Well, it kind of was.
Our new neighbors are nervous.
But
no.
A lot of baggage had built up. And I had to send... It got so bad where I literally couldn't even talk anymore. I couldn't talk. I couldn't bring myself to argue or speak about anything. And Mary's like, okay, I'm leaving. I'm going. I'm going to go out, do whatever. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Go. I don't care what you do. And am I proud of that? No, I'm not. I'm really not. But as I sat there alone, this was a few weeks ago, as I sat there alone in my house with Mary and Reese off somewhere, and I didn't know where they were going because I was an idiot, I realized that I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't talking. I was just mad. I was pissed off because of something stupid that I don't even remember anymore. I don't even remember what it was about.
I said that I wanted to feel special.
That is rather pertinent to this discussion. And, you know, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, now remember, I sat there and I was saying, what are you talking about? I do X, Y, and Z. I take the kid to bed every night. I'm the one that gets up with him every night. I'm the one that brings him to the nanny chair every morning. I'm the one that feeds him. I'm the one that changes every single diaper. I'm the one that pays the bills. I'm the one that... And you know what? Are those things true? You're damn right they are. All of them. But that's my job. I'm supposed to do those things. I don't get extra credit for fulfilling the duties that I'm supposed to do. Nowhere and anywhere of that sentence did I say, yeah, but, sweetheart, we did X, Y, and Z. I did this for you. Or I did this for us. Nowhere did I say, we went on vacation 2 weeks ago, and wasn't it awesome? We had those margaritas, and we went out and had fun and did all... Nowhere in that. It was just me saying, I do this chore. And while chores are important, they are not the foundation of a relationship. So with that said, let's move on to the next thing.
You just got so freaking heavy, man.
I did, but it's the truth.
And that's it. And that's what
this episode is all about. It sucks, but you got to get heavy and you got to tell the truth.
Well, and the thing is that I think you can also, you know, when you become a parent, you have so many more responsibilities and it's easy to have your time taken up and you get so much more stressed out and all relationships take a hit, mm-hmm. whether it's a marriage, just a regular romantic relationship, even your relationship with your friends or family, they take a hit because you are busy with a totally different person that you don't even know what to do with. But you make it work. And I think, you know, we were talking about these letters and how to make your partner feel special. I think that it's also important to acknowledge to that partner how great of a parent they are. That's one of the things that I find to help make you special, feel special. And it's weird because it's not like us related. It's not romantic. It's not, ooh, look at me, I'm planning a date. But I make it a point to compliment when you're doing exceptional things as a dad, mm-hmm. you know, or the fact that Reese really, really, really loves you and how cool that is and how great of a dad you already are. And I think that it's important to do that for your partner because you are parents. Like, yeah, you have this relationship and I know what we're focusing on is strengthening that relationship. But you also have this kid, and it's kind of cool to acknowledge them and share your love for that person by being a parent.
Yeah, because, you know, part of that relationship now, with time, your relationship evolves. It changes. Though our relationship now is not anywhere near the same as it was when we met back in 07. It's not the same at all.
I had so much more Guinness back then. Now I have none. Me.
Now we're parents, and part of our relationship is that we are parents. That's okay, too. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not the sole defining mechanism of our relationship, but it's definitely part of it. So complimenting me on being a good dad, I'll tell you, I've taken note of it, and it's awesome. I love hearing that from you, because I take your opinion very seriously.
Thank you.
I love hearing that. I love getting that compliment, that reassurance, that
observation, yeah.
Like, you know, my wife actually thinks I'm a good dad. You know, that's really cool. You know, I like that. And as a spouse, that's what I want to hear. And the other thing, too, is like I've been saying, me personally at least, you know, I've been speaking to the spouse that maybe needs to refocus things.
Me?
No.
I thought you were being very literal.
Like the listener.
You're looking at me and I'm like, uh-oh.
Now, I've been speaking to the listener who needs to refocus things. But I also want to speak to the listener who has recognized that there may be things that they need to figure out. And they're the catalyst to this discussion. There's nothing wrong with your relationship, for the most part. There's nothing wrong with the fact that you need to refocus things.
It's normal.
It's normal. Now, if you find that your spouse is totally neglecting you, then there is something wrong. I mean, if they're totally neglecting you, if they're being a dick to you, or if they're being problematic to you, yes, you need to have that conversation. But if you're in this category of like, oh, God, I really love my husband, or I really love my wife, and I know everything's okay, I know it, but it's not great. Do you want an okay marriage, or do you want a great marriage? You want a fabulous marriage, right? It's okay that things are off, and it's okay that you recognize them. Now it's your chance to have your spouse listen to this episode. And maybe this is your chance to let them know without even having to do the dirty work. You're letting us do it for you. That your relationship's okay, but it needs to be, it can be better. It can always be worked on. It can always have more of an effort. And if you think you're putting the most maximum amount of effort in that you possibly can, I'm telling you right now, you're wrong. You're not. You're not.
You can always do a little more.
You can always do more. You can always make that other person feel special the way they need to. And I'm telling you, if your spouse has made you listen to this episode, dude, brother.
Or girl.
Or girl, whatever, sister. Listen up. Because this is important. Don't screw it up.
This is your nudge.
This is your nudge. This is your big nudge. With that said, I'm speaking to this person again too, and to the other person who is the catalyst to this discussion. In order to make that person feel special, I want you to sit down with them and talk for 30 minutes. 30 minutes, one night, a week. Or maybe two nights, who knows? Sit down and talk for 30 minutes. No phones, no TV, no podcast, no nothing. Just talk. Could be about anything. Talk about the weather. Talk about what your spouse is wearing. Talk about...
I'm wearing dinner. I don't even know what this color is on me.
Talk about the Red Sox. Talk about anything. I don't care. Talk about something. And I'll tell you, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to not look at the phones and not look at the TV and not look at newspapers or whatever. It's hard. And not because... you don't want to talk to that person, but because we, this generation, our generation, and younger, is so trained to look at phones and screens, TV and screens, and we're information gatherers and seekers, and we process it and we talk about it, and that's okay. But for 30 minutes, one day a week, 2 days a week, I want you to sit down and put all that crap away and talk about whatever. And it'll be hard at first, but eventually you get a new groove. And you'll just talk. The reason why I'm saying this is on Valentine's Day, Mary and I were having dinner. I cooked filet with lobster tails and whatever. And we planned on eating dinner and watching a Valentine's-related movie because it was snowing like the Dickens outside on Valentine's night. And we decided to stay in. And as we were searching for a movie, I looked at the screen, and I actively said, no, I'm not going to do this. So I went to like the music channel on cable and I turned on music, and Mary and I literally sat down for hours and just talked.
And just so you guys know, the love song station on Music Choice
sucks.
Not very good. Sounds of the awful. Season on Valentine's Day were much better love songs, but
way better.
Continue.
Way better. So we just talked for hours. And at first, it was kind of weird. We were like, oh, there's no kid, there's no phones, there's no TV, there's no movies, there's no podcast, there's nothing except us and food and bad music. What do we do? And then eventually, we just got into a groove, and it was like we were dating all over again. You remember those hours you would spend on the phone? You would fall asleep on the phone listening to them breathe, or you would... Mary and I, when we first met, we sat out until 3 in the morning over at Water Place Park and listened to this homeless man play a saxophone, and we talked, and I had to get up at 4 o'clock the next morning to go bake donuts. That's the kind of feeling that I want you to have when you're speaking to that person for 30 minutes. When everything was interesting, they could read the phone book, and you would be like, wow, that's awesome. You know? That's important. So if you sit down with them for 30 minutes one night or two nights a week, you can get that feeling back. You can talk to them. Trust me, your partner is interesting if you allow them to be. If you would let them speak their mind and you talk to them, they will feel special. They're like, wow, this person actually cares about what I have to say. I think that's awesome.
I agree. I echo everything you just said.
All right. So, you know, why don't we wrap up this episode with a couple of other things? Because I think we're getting a little bit late in this episode. Make them feel sexy. Make them feel sexy. Pinch
without
their butt.
Airing anything.
Don't air out. Make them feel sexy. We'll finally get to it. Pinch their butt. Tell them that they're the prettiest girl or the most handsome man they've ever seen. You know? Make them feel like, ooh, wow. Man, I I still got it.
Because you know what, guys? I don't feel sexy right now. I don't know what's happened with this pregnancy, but my underwear doesn't fit anymore. And it used to when I was pregnant with Reese, and now it doesn't. And yet Blake will tell me, hey, cute butt. And I'm thinking, oh, it's because my butt's poking out of my underwear. But okay, I'll take it.
And, you know, along those lines, too, flirt with your spouse. Flirt with them. Send them a picture, you know?
Or if you're not into pictures, send them
a flirtatious picture. You don't have to be like completely buck naked.
Oh,
if you
God.
Don't want
it. Oh, I would never. I'm so like, nope, not right now, ever.
No, what I'm saying, like, send them a flirtatious picture.
Just send them a flirtatious worded text.
Oh, yeah. Or,
hey, hot stuff. Oh, my God. You could totally get things from the conversation hearts. You're cute. With a you are. You are cute.
So flirt with them. Flirt like you were like you're dating again. Make them feel sexy. Make them feel like you're attracted to them. You have to do those things. Because again, it's easy to just go day by day and, hey, honey, give them a peck on the cheek and then whatever. But if you make them feel sexy, you know, a peck leads to, you know, a kiss. And a kiss leads to a little bit more. And a little bit more leads to a lot more. And then all those things happen. And trust me, as a guy, I will never turn that down unless I'm sedated on NyQuil or Tylenol PM.
Or if I'm airing something out.
Yeah. And then, listen, hey, if something happens, something happens. And then the next morning, get up and make them breakfast.
Oh, that's nice.
I like that. Get up early and make your significant other breakfast. Breakfast is awesome. I love breakfast.
Me too.
Love breakfast. Because
I don't like cleaning after breakfast, though. I do not like cleaning that stuff.
But breakfast is so intimate. If you get up early, if you made me breakfast, like, early, and you brought it in bed, or you said, hey, come downstairs. I got something for you. And there's a full display of food. I would feel like $1 million. I'd be like, wow, man, you just got up early and you made that for me?
I'm not really good in the kitchen. How about if I make you oatmeal? Does that count?
Is it the microwave brand?
Yeah.
Yeah, then fine. That's
with
fine.
The apples and cinnamon?
I can't have you doing the real thing. You'll mess it up.
I know. Remember when I used to try that when I was like trying to be healthy and I'd like actually make it on the stove?
Yeah, that didn't work out so well.
No, I would boil over every time. I'd forget about it.
I'm going to tell you, the nonstick pans had things sticking to them. So those are our suggestions. Now, if you think we've missed some stuff, I'm sure that we have. If you have some ideas, we would love to hear them. But ultimately, those are the things that I've thought of. Those are the things that I think work and I feel like is a good start for you. And if you start there and you then edit it or categorize it so that it's personal to your tastes or your spouse's tastes, then you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing and you've made a good start. And I think, again, as long as you take time for that person will recognize it.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's the right thing to do. All right, kid, what do you say? We close out this discussion and let's do the wines of the week.
You got it.
My wine of the week, you want to know what it is?
Please.
My kid knows how to open doors now.
He's like a velociraptor. You know, and they're like, it's okay. They don't know how to open doors. And then they do.
And then they do. He knows how to open doors. I can't, like, just close the doors now and have him not leave the room.
We have, our living room has doors on it, so we can actually just blockade ourselves in the living room, or at least we thought we could. Yeah.
Yeah, and that doesn't work anymore.
Nope.
Not a good investment. How about you, kid? What do you got?
This morning we lost heat, and it's been like negative 25 degrees with the wind chill, and so we had to order more oil. In the meantime, I had a fire going, and I closed those doors in that living room, and I had to keep resitting for like half a day until the oil people came, because the rest of our house was 40 degrees. And so it was really hard, because he would keep trying to open the doors. Or he would kind of walk near the fireplace. So I let that kid watch way too much junk TV. I kept him in his high chair for like an hour at a time. And I'd be like, oh, let's Play-Doh. Let's Play-Doh some more. Let's sit in your high chair and watch Mickey. Let's Play-Doh and Mickey. And Wow, let's read a book in your high chair. Oh, you want to get out? I'll hold you. I'll hold you because you have nowhere to go.
And then we'll watch a little Einstein.
So it was really torturous to have to try to keep him away from the fire and in that little space for such a long amount of time. We didn't have a car. I mean, it was tough.
That must have been miserable.
It's a good wine. It's a good wine.
All right, what do you say we get into the winds?
Okay.
What do you got, kid?
My win is that Reese, who is 22 months old, acknowledges the fact that there is a baby coming, which is huge because he, he's really young and everyone keeps asking me like, oh, is he excited? And I'm like, I think he doesn't really grasp that something's coming to stay and kind of bust in on his parental time. But he knows there's a baby in my belly. And like if ever I'm touching it because I feel her kick or something, he'll sign baby and he likes to like pat it and kiss it. And he now thinks that there might be a baby in daddy's belly. He doesn't understand that babies are just in mommy's belly. But it's cute that he's thinking about it. It's really adorable, like that he signs baby and knows that there's a little one inside my belly.
Oh,
I like that.
Yeah.
Why'd you just make that sound again?
I have another wine of the week.
I'm like, you just hit the wrong sound.
No, I didn't hit the wrong sound. I got another wine of the week.
What is the wine?
The fact that Reese pointed at my belly today and signed baby. Now, I don't know if that's cute or if that's saying more about me, but I was really upset by that. I was like, really, bro? He pointed at my stomach, smiled, and made the baby sign.
Oh. I think he just thinks babies are in bellies. Don't worry.
I wanted to die.
It's okay. What's your win?
Oh, my God, my win. All right, my win is that Reese has learned, like, at least I want to believe he's learned how to catch.
Catch what?
A ball.
Oh, yay.
I was throwing him a ball, like, up in the air, and I must have done it, like, I don't know, 20 times. And most of the time, it would just hit his face.
Just like the snow that you threw at him. Okay.
But
there's a theme.
Three of the times that I threw the ball at him, he caught it. It was probably by accident.
I think it's like Powerball, you know, numbers.
Eventually you run into one. But he caught the ball three times, twice in a row. And I freaked out. I was like, oh my God, scholarship. You know, like I'm going to have the best, most athletic kid ever. I'm going to have the next Tom Brady, you know, like.
Except he throws the ball.
But my kid can throw the ball too. Okay. It's not a perfect spiral like Tom, but it's close. What I'm saying is my kid caught the ball and I freaked out. I thought that was the best thing ever. I loved every second of it.
Congratulations. That music is as close as I'm going to get to a warm vacation for the next year of my life. I thought I was going to go away this February vacation. I didn't. But I'm thankful for it because I heard that in Miami, it was 41 degrees.
That's right, it was.
Imagine if we paid money to go to Miami.
Oh, and it was 41 degrees.
I would not have been happy.
Ooh, that would be ugly.
I'll just drink my pineapple juice and listen to that song. Anyway, so my parent pick for the week, the thing that I recommend is looking into nanny sharing. I work, I teach part-time, I also podcast and blog, and Blake works full-time. So we need someone to watch Reese. And instead of just hiring a nanny, we actually split the cost by sharing the nanny with another parent. I'm burping a lot because I'm pregnant. I'm sorry.
I was going to cover for you.
I can't. I'm sorry. It's the acid reflux. That needs to be my wine. The woman today, I actually had to go to the hospital today because I was monitored. What are you doing? I'm whining some more. In addition to not having heat, I had to go get monitored for baby kicks. And the woman was like, how's your acid reflux? And I was like, terrible. I'm on medicine. Anyway. So I'm trying to tell you about the good things in life. Nanny sharing, if you're thinking that getting a nanny is the right choice for you, see if there's someone who already has a nanny or would like to share that nanny with you, because often you can split the price but still get that really good attention. And your kid gets to socialize. It's awesome. What do you like, Blake?
I love getting my kid in front of the TV.
Oh, my God. That is not a good parental thing to recommend.
This is what I love. This. That is the Thomas the Train theme song.
Oh my gosh.
Thomas the Train is the best thing to happen to me in a long time.
Since Air Buddies.
Since Air Buddy or Mickey.
Oh my gosh.
Thomas the Train deserves basically to have his own segment on this podcast.
No.
I'm thinking about it.
People are going to think that's all we do with our kid.
Have him watch TV.
He doesn't, guys. He really, really gets out.
No. My parent pick is Thomas the Train. And because, listen, there's nothing like knowing that you're going to have like 20 minutes to yourself to do something that you got to do. And if you need your kid to be still for 20 minutes, Thomas the Train gets it done, dude. Thomas gets it done.
Okay.
Reese loves Thomas, and it's a funny show. It's got a lot of colors, and the animation's actually pretty good. I was actually noticing that the other day, and
Blake actually watches it. It's my favorite because I kind of zone out, and I'll be like, "Oh, who's that?" And Blake will be like, "Oh, that's Percy. He just came from the log area, and he dropped a bunch of logs, and Thomas helped him." And
she's like, "Is that Gordon? No, it's James." Get it right.
I think Blake is recommending this as a parent pick for the parents.
How do you not know that's James? That's ultimately the way I feel about it. But I love myself some Thomas the Train. So that's my parent pick.
Everybody, thank you so incredibly much for tuning in to this week's episode, or this episode of Parentcast. I don't get to do it every week. I'm burping half the time. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and especially we would love to hear your ideas for how to make your significant other feel special, please reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, or Instagram. All of our handles there are Parentcast.
And you can get us at the website, too. You can listen to our podcasts there, and we have the Mary and Blake store with all the cool stuff that we do for all of our shows, including Parentcast. You can go to parentcastpodcast.com.
And we also have a hotline so you can leave your voicemail message and then you can hear your voice on the air, a.k.a. the podcast air. What's the number, Blake?
503-454-6730. And if you also like the email machine, you can email us anytime 24/7 at parentcast@gmail.com. What do you say, kid? You want to close out the show?
Yep.
All right, let's do it.
I'm itchy. I'm really itchy. What? I'm itchy.
Did you really just say you're itchy on air?
I thought that you were pushing the button. Oh my God. I'm so itchy.
Oh my God. Oh my God. How are we going to have any listeners after this? We're not. Let's close out the show. Oh, boy. You know, you can call us one thing. You can call us a lot of things, but professional is definitely not one of them.
Okay, well, what's coming up on the next episode of Parentcast?
The next episode of Parentcast. You know how we had a couple episodes ago, you're a new mom and everything's going to be okay, we promise?
Yeah.
Now the next week's episode is going to be all about you're a new dad and everything's going to be okay. We promise.
We promise, guys. So reach out to us and thanks so much for listening.
Bye, guys. Love you.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92%? Because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.